from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Floyd Water Pumping and Jerry, and I get all these texts and tweets. Oh, man, thank God you guys are back at 6 in the morning. Thank God. Speak for yourself, for crying out loud. 10-2 was money. Money. Just like Mike Florio, as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests are 95.7 to game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Mike Florio getting ready for another football season here. Pro Football Talk on Twitter. And read his book, Father of Mine. You can find the ebook for that on Amazon for 99 cents through this Saturday. And be on the lookout for Son of Mine, which will be made available September the 3rd. Available right now to pre-order. Mike, good morning to you. Trady kept it up on Wednesday as he joins us here on the River Islands guest line. And Mike, it all starts with Brandon Ayuk here. We heard your cut, heard you on the Pat McAfee show, I should say, Mike, about Brandon Ayuk and how there were five other teams willing to meet Ayuk's demands, his money. So what held up the deal? Was it the 49ers? Was it the draft compensation? What held up a deal? Because obviously the Niners were taking phone calls on Brandon Ayuk.
Right, yes. I think it was the trade compensation that ultimately kept it from happening, that no one offered enough to get the 49ers to pull the trigger. And I don't know whether or not this is a situation where the 49ers had their bluff called by Brandon Ayuk's camp, because this didn't happen as a result of Ayuk wanting to be traded. That happened recently with the formal request to be traded. Back before the draft, it was he wanted to be paid a certain amount of money. The 49ers didn't want to pay it. And at some point, it was decided, let's see if someone else will pay him what the 49ers won't. The 49ers authorized that effort, and they found out that there were five teams that were willing to pay the 49ers, or to pay Ayuk, excuse me, what the 49ers wouldn't pay him. And, you know, at some point, you got to wake up if you're Jed York or Parag Marate or John Lynch, whoever's got the fingers on the purse strings. If there are five other teams that recognize the value in Brandon Ayuk to the point where they'll pay him what the 49ers won't, and give something up to get him, even if it wasn't sufficient to get the deal done. At some point, the 49ers should look at that and say, look, all we have to do is pay him. We don't have to give anything up to pay him. You got five teams that are willing to pay him and give something up to make it happen. At some point, you got to look at that and go, yeah, we should probably just pay this guy what he wants, because other teams view him more with more value than we do.
So I guess let's start here. I am so fuzzy on whether the 49ers can physically afford Brandon Ayuk now and moving forward. Because my understanding is that they're already $30 million over the cap. And I know the cap is a moving target at best. But, like, do they have the money to give him, even top of the market, what he wants?
Well, look, it gets complicated because it's not just now, but it's in the future. And they know that they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy after this year. I firmly believe they went into this offseason hoping to just hold it all together for one more year. I think we've probably talked about this before. Find a way to keep Ayuk, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Trent Williams, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy together. After this year, they're going to have to make some tough decisions. Deebo may be gone. Kittle may be gone. And I think they were hoping to kick the can for one more year, see what Ayuk can do. Maybe if they start to make him more like one or 1B as the receiver instead of number two, can he be the number one guy in the offense at that position? And then you pay him after this season. I think they really wanted to if they could have, and they still might be able to pull it off. If they draw a hard line and Ayuk eventually caves, they get him for $14.1 million this year. It can make a decision after this season. But I think that's where it all comes from. You've got a team that you're trying to get the most out of what you have left now and lay the foundation for the future. And the key bridge piece is Brandon Ayuk, if they could keep him for 14-1. And he decided not to go along with that. You know, I mean, he was second in the league in yards per target. Mm-hmm. He was a second team All-Pro. At some point, it's undeniable, especially when you have all these other teams that are willing to pay him, and he knows it. And the 49ers were the reason why a trade didn't happen, because they refused all offers, and now they say they aren't going to trade him at all.
What were those offers?
I don't know what all of them were. I know the Patriots offered a second rounder, and that was rejected, but I don't know what any of the other offers were.
You know, Mike, I would say, and Shasky, maybe you agree with this, but 65% of the callers we've taken and some of the texts and the messages we received on the Brandon Ayuk situation over the last 2 to 3 weeks, it feels like, in my opinion, Shasky and Mike, that 49er fans, a lot of them here, are saying, well, we could go find another Brandon Ayuk. We have McCaffrey, we have Deebo, we have Kittle. Without Purdy, Ayuk's nothing. Do you feel like in this region, from what you gather, Mike, that we're underrating Brandon Ayuk, and maybe he's a lot better than we all think he is?
That's the challenge. I know when this first came up, Chris Sims said, when you watch 49ers film, Brandon Ayuk is wide open a lot. Now, is that because of his inherent skills in getting open? Or is that because defenses are stretched so thin that someone's going to fall through the cracks? And this past year, Ayuk is the one who fell through the cracks because all the other players were known commodities and they drew more attention. So that's a fair read on it. And, you know, you're going to have reasonable minds differing. You're going to have analysis of film and look at how he gets off the breaks and look at what he does to get open versus it's Shanahan's offense and you could find somebody else who could come in and do what Brandon Ayuk does. And that's what, you know, you kind of take it to the next level. And this is something I suggested over the weekend. And I thought of this because at one point before the draft, there were reports, I think Mike Silver reported, that the Steelers were interested in trading for Deebo Samuel, but the 49ers wanted too much. Do you at some point just move on from Deebo Samuel now, make Ayuk number one, and see what you can do otherwise to fill out the rest of the depth chart, whether it's Ricky Pearsall or others, right out of the gate? So, again, I just think this is a decision the 49ers didn't want to have to make right now. And it's a fair talking point as to whether or not Ayuk is a guy who could be replaced. You know, is he one of the top three receivers in the NFL? Probably not. Where does he land? And does he land so low on the pecking order that you say, nah, we're not going to pay this guy $30 million. We'll just find somebody else to do what he currently does.
Most teams in the NFL, Mike, and maybe you could put yourself in this, you could put yourself in the hat too as the pro football team or whatnot, but whose future are you banking on moving forward? Is it Deebo Samuel at the age of 28 with a lot of wear and tear? Or is it Brandon Ayuk at the age of 26 who seems to be ascending at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I think all things equal, it's Ayuk, isn't it? I don't know how many more good years Deebo has left because of his playing style. That's the problem. Look what happened with Jamal Adams. He's got this rough and tumble, reckless playing style that caused him to play in 21 games over a three-year period, and he ended up signing a one-year veteran minimum contract in Tennessee a couple of weeks ago. It's a direct result of how he plays the game. I've watched over the weekend all of the episodes of the receiver series on Netflix. And, I mean, Debo plays the game with a reckless abandon that gets him banged up. And you know, in today's NFL, there's value in playing in a way that doesn't get you banged up. You have to know where that limit is. And that's the delicate balance between playing football and having no regard for your health or well-being. The other side of that is there's a reason to have regard for your health and well-being. It allows you to play next week. It allows you to finish games. It keeps you out of the blue tent. It keeps you out of the locker room. And yeah, all things being equal right now, I'd probably say Ayuk over Samuel. But I really, back to, I hate to keep repeating this, but I think the 49ers were hoping they could get one more year of Ayuk and Samuel and not have to make a decision until after this season.
All right. Is there any way, like, what is the leverage that IU currently has? Like, it, to me, it's pretty simple. Either he shows up and he plays for $15 million or he's traded. There's like no in between, right?
Well, the in between goes like this. He doesn't show up for training camp like Nick Bosa did last year. He skipped everything, and he racked up fines. It's $40,000 a day, and if you're on your fifth-year option, for every preseason game you missed, you're fined a game check, regular season game check, so it's 14.1 divided by 18 for each of the three preseason games. And then he can hold out into the regular season and give up a game check for each game he misses. And there are rules and requirements under the CBA as to when you'd have to show up, and there's different games the team can play to try to squeeze him to show up sooner. And then he shows up, and what kind of shape is he in? How much does he really do this year, right? So I don't know that that is a good outcome for anyone, especially Ayuk, because he's given up real money to do that. The other thing is, he shows up, but, you know, if you even have the slightest pull in your hamstring, I'm not playing through it. I'm not going to go out there and risk a more significant injury. You know, if you've got a concussion, or you think you might, you know, and I know that culturally the NFL is trying to get guys to always put their hands up and say, I might have an issue. You know, there are times where guys...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And we know this, how this goes. They just keep going. They get their bell ring and they keep going. They don't say anything to anybody and they play through it. You get a guy who's not happy with his contract, he's going to be far more likely to put his hand up anytime he has anything that is remotely close to being an injury or a health condition that would keep him from playing, because I'm not going to go out of my way. I don't have security beyond this year. They're taking advantage of me at $14.1 million. So, you know, how many games is he actually playing? I think the Bengals are going to have to deal with that with T. Higgins this year.
Yeah.
On his franchise tag at 21.8. So there's a middle ground that's ugly for the 49ers. And for Ayuk, where Ayuk's there at 14-1, but he doesn't give the kind of performance we saw last year that helped create this mess.
Is there any trade out there? Let's say that Ayuk and the Niners can't come to an agreement. Is there any trade out there that would keep the Niners in contention for a Super Bowl? Because, I mean, we all agree. Like, you take Debo or Ayuk off the team, it makes it dramatically more difficult. I saw a trade last week circulated around, whether it's real or not, of, you know, Davante Adams straight up for Ayuk. Like, is there a trade out there like that, or is that just complete internet BS?
Well, I mean, that's the problem with not doing the trade before the draft. Because before the draft, you're getting value that in theory could help you this year in the form of whatever picks you get for IU. After the draft, you have to get a player if you want something that's going to help you this year. Now, something they could do, they could trade IU for draft pick compensation, and then they could replace IU with a separate trade using the draft pick compensation they got as part of the ammunition to get the guy that might be available elsewhere. So it wouldn't have to be Ayuk for Adams straight up, if that's even a possibility. And then again, based on the receiver show, it sure doesn't seem like Davante Adams is thrilled about being with the Raiders right now. But you could trade Ayuk to someone, and then you could trade for Davante Adams. Or you could trade Ayuk to someone, and you could target some other receiver from some other team who might be disgruntled or might become, you know, replaceable as the season goes on. So, you know, and here's the other thing too. If you know, a top receiver on another team gets injured during training camp or the preseason, all of a sudden you may have somebody who's willing to give up a lot for Brandon Ayuk. And if at that point the 49ers have decided, hey, you know what, Ricky Pearsall looks pretty damn good, or, you know, we think this guy, Juwan Jennings, is ready to really step up. They gave him a contract in the offseason. He was a guy who was for a while in the Super Bowl on the short list of maybe he's the MVP of this game. So you get 2-3 weeks in, people get clarity, an injury comes along, and maybe it happens then, and they don't feel compelled to get somebody else who could come in and replace him right away.
Mike Florio here on the Morning Roast with Shasky and Bonte, River Island's guest line. Of course, Mike, this is kind of a lazy question, I guess, but I was going to ask you, who has the most pressure on them coming into the season? And, you know, everybody's got pressure, right? This is the NFL. Money's on the line, contracts, legacies, or whatnot. But with this football team, and considering what they've done in the past 5 years, coming up short in the Super Bowl twice against Kansas City, blowing a 10-point lead against Kansas City, blowing a 10-point lead against the Rams in an NFC Championship game, not having your quarterback last more than 6 plays against Philadelphia, to me, I was just having this conversation with Shasky here. It feels like Shanahan has the most pressure going on himself going into the season, because Purdy's going to get his money. Guys are going to get paid. What do you think about the 49ers in 2024? Is that valid? Does Shanahan have the most pressure on him, on this football team moving forward?
Well, there was a bit of research recently. I think it was from NFL Research about coaches who have been to multiple Super Bowls, either as coordinators or head coaches. And for everyone who's done what Shanahan has done, and that's 0-3 as coordinator or head coach, they never ultimately won a Super Bowl. I don't know what that really means. You know, right after the Super Bowl loss, I made the argument that at some point Shanahan might need to go somewhere else like Andy Reid did to just kind of hit the reset button. Because I think the pressure mounts. And the intensity mounts. You know, I think back to when the Bengals were getting to the playoffs every year and losing. It was getting harder and harder every year to set that aside. Look at what happens with the Ravens when they get back to the playoffs and they get deeper into the playoffs. I think it becomes more and more of an issue. And I think the 49ers are going to be dealing with that every time they're back in the Super Bowl, especially if they keep coming up against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. And there's a good reason to believe that if the 49ers keep going back, they're going to keep running into the Chiefs more often than not. So maybe at some point it's good for both sides. And that's what happened with Reed and the Eagles. Now, look, that was after, 14 years?
So we're getting to that point, though, huh? We're getting to that point with Shanahan where we may have to think about life after Shanahan.
I just think at some point, when you are standing on the porch banging on the door and the door's not opening, I think the longer you bang, the more pressure there is on everyone to finally open the damn door. Now, I'd also say that Purdy probably has a little bit of pressure on him to cement that he's worthy of, you know, a market level contract. I mean, right now it's like, yeah, the guy's going to get a contract after his third year. Okay, we fast forward to February. It's like, well, what's he going to get paid? How much is he going to get? Is it going to start with a 5? Is it going to start with a 4? Is it going to start with a 6? So that's all to be determined based upon what he does this year. And obviously the more success they have, the more likely, you know, they win the Super Bowl, he's getting a 6 at the front of his contract. And, you know, all these other issues are solved, but you're going to have cap concerns because you got a quarterback who's going to be, at least for a little while, the highest paid player in all of football. So there is some pressure on him to kind of finish the job. But, yeah, I just think you put yourself in Shanahan's shoes. And it's like, it's always something that keeps you from winning that Super Bowl. It gets to a point where it just drives you nuts. Yeah. And I think you become hyper aware as you get closer and closer to winning a Super Bowl. What is it that's going to happen this time? Here's what happened against Tom Brady and the Patriots. Here's what happened the first time against Mahomes. Here's what happened the second time against Mahomes. No lead is safe. You almost have to be up 41-3 at halftime to finally be able to relax and think, okay, this time it's going to turn out differently and I'm finally going to win.
Mike, I love it. I'll ask you another thing. When you keep saying 4, 5, 6, I'm assuming years on the deal, not 400, 500, 600 million. When talking about Purdy.
I mean 40, 50, or 60 million
gotcha.
A year.
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. So on that same note, Packers and Jordan Love are working on a new deal. At least it's being reported that, and I guess Love won't practice until the deal is done. What would that deal look like? And how does that impact the framework for a Brock Purdy deal, you think?
Well, he's holding in, right? You got two options. If you're not happy with the contract that you have, and Jordan Love is due to make $11 million this year, obviously he needs a new contract. So they didn't get it done before camp opened. So now they're going to do he's holding in, and the team's fine with that. He's not going to practice, but he's there. It's the middle ground between the holdout and showing up and reluctantly practicing. But Matt LaFleur's got to get a football team ready without Jordan Love. So I think they'll get something done sooner than later. And again, is it going to start with a 5 or is it going to start with a 4? But the thing that I tell people all the time, and we saw this with Derek Carr 2 years ago when he did his extension with the Raiders and all the, you know, the usual suspects on Twitter who get the initial text message and never ask questions about what it all means. Oh, it's $40 million guaranteed and it's $40 million a year and this, that, and the other thing. It's like, yeah, but you know what? There was an escape hatch in there that lets the Raiders get out after 1 year if they decide to move on. Oh, and they did. So I think the key for any of these quarterback deals that will be done, including Purdy's, how many years are you truly tied to the player? With the extreme being Deshaun Watson and the Browns are stuck for 5 years. You know, the Broncos were stuck for 2 with Russell Wilson. The Seahawks are on a year-to-year deal with Geno Smith. That wasn't proclaimed from the rooftops when Geno did his deal. Everybody said, oh, it's 3 years, $100 million. No, it's 1 year at a time. Daniel Jones, 2 years. So that's going to be the key with Love's deal. Regardless of what the number is, how many years are the Packers truly tied to him? And I think that's going to be the thing to look at when Purdy does his deal. How many years are the 49ers truly committed to Brock Purdy?
You know, Mike, it's taken a while for us. We really haven't gotten out of the Super Bowl. We saw it in Las Vegas. That was one of the darkest moments for 49er fans in the last 30 years, no doubt about that. How will 2024 play out for them? If all things are equal, they get Brandon Ayuk into camp and they're healthy, where do you see the season going for the 49ers, Mike?
I remember 4 years ago, there was a preseason event and Kyle Shanahan was asked, what does he want for the 49ers this year? And he says he wants to have a 10-point lead with, you know, 7 minutes left and finish the job. And I made the point that that's the easy part. You get a 10-point lead with 7 minutes left in the Super Bowl. That's coasting, or at least it's supposed to be. The hard part is going back to 0-0. Dennis Green, the former Vikings coach, and he was a 49ers assistant at one point, he called it the Valley of 0-0. Every team gets dragged back down to the Valley of 0-0, and you have to do it all over again. Look what happened in 2020 after they went to the Super Bowl the last time. All those injuries with the back-to-back games on that horrible surface at MetLife Stadium. The season can get easily derailed for any team at any time. 0-0, the climb from 0-0 to the 1 seed is not easy. It's a long, hard fight, and then you get to single elimination. So, yeah, the 49ers are one of the best teams in the NFL, but we got 272 regular season games, and we know from experience a lot of stuff happens. Should the 49ers be in the mix when it's all said and done? Yes. But remember, Chris Berman used to say that's why they play the games. He probably still says it. I just don't see him very often anymore. But that's why they play the games. And we'll see. And it's just another reason to hear a 49ers fan. And I feel for the 49ers fans. Good Lord. To be that close, to have that championship just kind of dangling in your face. And you reach for it. And it's like, you remember the old Eddie Murphy bit? Want to lick? Psych. There goes the trophy, just like the ice cream cone.
You love that we keep falling short. Just a little. Come on.
I don't love that.
No.
For content purposes.
It would be nice if like over the course of 32 years, every team could win one Super Bowl. I mean, the problem is the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Look at the AFC.
I know.
Look at the Bills. Look at all these teams. It, like, you just have to accept the fact that for the next decade, you're just going to be watching and waiting and hoping that something happens that keeps the Chiefs from, you know, winning another Super Bowl and another Super Bowl and another Super Bowl. So at least you guys have a chance to get there. You don't have to deal with the Chiefs in the playoffs. You don't have to. You only have to wait for them until the Super Bowl.
I made this point, Mike, that if I see the Chiefs on the other side of the bracket in the title game, knowing if the Niners are in the NFC title game, I'd rather just lose the NFC title game. I don't want to play Kansas City no more. I mean, you watch Mahomes throw on his back foot across the field to Xavier Worthy. I mean, come on, man. Now he's got a new home run hitter. Oh, I just got depressed again. Mike, you're always good to us.
Great stuff, your book, Mike.
Can't wait for your book as well. First one was good. Finished it. Father of Mine, Son of Mine coming out September 3rd. Pre-order right now. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Thanks so much for the time today, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Anytime, Mike Florio here
so much
on the Morning Roast. There's a lot to chew on.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.